Gov, thank you for the great leadership you've shown and for that introduction. It's great to be here with so many old friends and got a chance to meet a bunch of new friends, I hope friends, when I hosted the new governors over in my office back in December and got a chance to spend some time with you all last night, and I appreciate it very much. And, you know, the President and I look forward to this every year, for real, because we get a chance, as Mary can tell you, to actually have real live conversations that usually don't take place in this city the last several years. You guys and women took office to get things done. You're accustomed to making sure whatever the problem is your state is facing to actually addressing the problem. And so we look forward to this event every year. And, you know, as I said when I spoke, it was referenced by your president that I was in Nashville back, I guess it was in July. And I said then that I believe, and I really mean this, that the governors are the single best hope for the political process right now. We will get it right eventually back in Washington. I know I'm viewed as a cockeyed optimist thinking that will occur. It will occur. The public's not going to put up with this gridlock for much, much longer. But you are the place where it's happening. And so many of you are experimenting with and moving forward on plans that are viewed here as toxic. But Republican governors, Democratic governors, you're reaching consensus on everything from early childhood education to minimum wage in your states to things that you're working out. And I don't see much difference whether it's a Republican governor or a Democratic governor in the state. You're getting things done. And the other part of what I've observed is that you're used to being held accountable for what you do, which I think focuses one's attention really closely. You know, I got a chance to work with some of you, you veteran governors, when we initiated the Recovery Act. It ended up being over $800 billion, and everyone said couldn't possibly work, and it wasn't going to do much for the economy, and it was going to be such a wasteful undertaking. Well, I want to thank you veteran governors for making me look like I knew what I was doing, because I spent time with all but four of you at the time on the telephone multiple times. And you took every single solitary project and program you had, and you held it the same standard that I did, which was that you needed an answer, you'd get one within 24 hours. If you didn't get an answer in 24 hours, you got an answer in 24 hours to when you'd get the answer. And you got an answer. And you implemented it, you made it work. And, you know, at the time, it was viewed as something that was not very, very useful. But since then, the GAO, which is sort of the gold standard of this town, pointed out that because of you and the way you implemented the Recovery Act, there was less than 1% of waste, fraud, or abuse. I think it was even, not even, Congressman Issel said, it was a paraphrase, it was a model for how to implement a federal program. And it worked. And in addition to that, as time has gone on, the vast majority of economists on both sides of the aisle have acknowledged its work. The University of Chicago did a poll, and they found that 88% of American economists said that the Recovery Act was worth doing, and 93% of them agreed that it lowered the nation's unemployment rate. But that's because of you. And by the way, the mayors, they were equally as responsive. Michael Grunwald, the reporter, even wrote a book about what he called the New Deal to discuss how it worked. But in the past year or so, I've also had a chance to be in a number of your states. I had a chance to travel with Governor Cuomo and Governor Haley in their states to discuss ways to build a 21st century infrastructure. You all know. I mean, last time we met, I afterwards sat with some of you and said, if you could just pick one single infrastructure project in your state that would have a profound impact, in your view, on the economy of your state and the growth of your state and attracting business to your state. You all couldn't just come up with one. Most of you came up with two or three or four. I don't know how much time we spent, Terry, you allowed me to spend with you down in Virginia. talking about what's possible. And it's within our wheelhouse. This used to all be bipartisan stuff. It never was viewed in such ideological terms as it is here in this city. And so working with Governor Hassan and Mary Fallon, Governor McAuliffe, you know, you all are working on strategies to make sure also we have the most highly skilled workforce in the world. And you're doing great, and you're doing great jobs at it. You're using the community college in the most flexible way that it could be used, and it's working. You're actually putting people back to work, connecting them with businesses, and with a little help from the federal government, a little funding. And, you know, the Tiger Grants, you all have used those. For every $1 in Tiger Grants that we've put forward, you brought $4 off the sidelines. You brought in private capital, state capital. And so you understand better than any group of people that how this process works. And but most of all, the thing I want to thank you for is the tone you set. It's the one place in politics that most of the American people feel some sense of security, some sense of, well, maybe we can get this right. And I'm counting on you being contagious. I'm counting on you continuing to talk with your Democrat or Republican, your elected senators and congresspersons to see if we can move this thing forward, because we're ready to work with you. We genuinely see you as the vehicle in order to keep — look, we've gone from crisis to recovery, and we're on the verge of resurgence. We are better positioned than any nation in the world to lead the 21st century. We're so much better positioned. And it's not just us. Take a look at what the IMF has projected in terms of growth in the United States relative to the rest of the world. Take a look at what A.T. Kearney they go out and ask the 300 largest industrialists in the world, CEOs, we're the best place in the world to invest today. By a margin larger than any time in over 3 decades they've been doing this poll, they say the United States, in every single sector, from manufacturing to IT to the service economies. But you all know we need two things to keep this rolling. We need the most highly skilled workforce in the world, and we need the best infrastructure in the world. And they used to be really bipartisan things. They seem to be with you all. We're anxious to work with you. And the person who is most anxious to work with you, the man I'm about to introduce now, who looks at you as he said last night, all the presidency is paraphrasing, as Harry Truman said, a job a governor does in a really big state, or something to that effect. But you all have been our best hope right now, and I think you can help us all change the mindset about making politics work in this country, because we are so well positioned as a country to be the dominant economic force in the 21st century. We have the cheapest energy in the world. We are the epicenter of energy, and will remain so for the remainder of this century. We have the most agile venture capitalists in the world. We find ourselves in a position where our workers are 3 times as productive as they are in China. We have the greatest research universities in the world, and we have you. So we're counting on a good year. We're counting on being able to work with you on so many things that are of common interest. And ladies and gentlemen, the person who's most anxious to work with you is the man I'm about to introduce now, my friend, the President of the United States, Barack Obama.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Everybody have a seat. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Welcome to the White House once again. The only thing more glamorous than a black tie dinner with Hall & Oates is Q&A with Obama and Biden. So we save the best for last. I know you guys are excited. I want to thank everybody for being here. I'm going to be very brief. As Joe said, last year was a breakthrough year for the United States. Last year, the economy created more than 3 million new jobs, and that's the best job growth in any single year since the 1990s. The same was true for manufacturing growth. In fact, manufacturing jobs grew even faster than the overall economy. deficit cut by two-thirds, energy production at an all-time high. All told, businesses have now created over 12 million jobs over the last 5 years, and the best news of all, wages have started to go up. So America is as well positioned as we've been in a very long time. And the question is, what kind of choices do we now make together to make sure that that momentum is sustained? I have talked about before, and I want to emphasize again during our conversations, the belief that middle-class economics is what works. The idea that not only do we want the country as a whole to prosper, but we want to make sure that every single person in this country has opportunity, that if they work hard, they can get ahead, that prosperity is broadly shared. And not only is everybody sharing in that prosperity, but everybody is contributing to that prosperity. And in order to do that, we got to make sure that everybody's got a fair shot, that everybody does their fair share, and everybody's playing by the same set of rules. We've got to make sure that anybody out there who is scrimping and saving and trying to figure out how to send their kids to college and worrying about retirement, that they've got some sense of security and some sense that they can make it. As Joe indicated, I think every one of the governors here in every one of the states of this great union of ours cares about these same things and is doing a lot of creative work to enhance the opportunities for advancement for their citizens. You've got states like Oklahoma that are leading the way in making sure that we're educating our children at the earliest age with high-quality early childhood and pre-K education. Since 2013, 17 states have joined companies like The Gap and now Walmart to raise their minimum wage, make sure that some of the hardest working people in America are able to support their families if they're working full time. States are leading the way in removing unnecessary licensing requirements so workers can start filling up some of the jobs that they already have the skills for. You got states like California that are leading the way in providing paid leave so that mom or dad can take a day off to care for a sick child or an aging parent without having to give up a paycheck. And states are leading the way, making sure more people have the security of health insurance. And today, thanks to the Affordable Care Act, more than 10 million Americans now have the peace of mind that comes with being covered. I want to thank all the governors, Democrats and Republicans, supporters and some opponents of the ACA who've expanded Medicaid to millions of people over the past 2 years. I think there's a recognition that it makes sense, and it's bigger than politics. As Governor Kasich said, for Ohio, it saves lives, no question about it. And if your state isn't one of the 28 that's already expanded Medicaid, I'd urge you to consider it, because our team is prepared to work with you to make it happen. Because some of you may not always agree with my approach or policies, I think that we can all agree that it's a good thing when a family doesn't lose a home just because a member of that family gets sick. And surely we can agree that it's a good thing when businesses have roads and bridges and ports and the kind of internet connections that allow all of us to thrive. Surely we can all agree that when workers and management come together around helping families getting ahead, that's a good thing. And that it's a good thing when workers and businesses can compete on a level playing field with new agreements for fair and free trade in some of the world's fastest growing markets. So that's going to be my agenda for the next 2 years. Congress may pass parts of that agenda, not others, but I'm going to keep on pushing for these ideas because I believe it's the right thing to do. I think it's right for America. And I will keep on urging Congress to move past some of the habits of manufactured crises and self-inflicted wounds that have so often bogged us down over the last 5 years. We've got one example of that right now. Unless Congress acts, 1 week from now, more than 100,000 DHS employees, Border Patrol, port inspectors, TSA agents will show up to work without getting paid. Now, they all work in your states. These are folks who, if they don't have a paycheck, are not going to be able to spend that money in your states. It will have a direct impact on your economy, and it will have a direct impact on America's national security because their hard work helps to keep us safe. And as governors, you know that we can't afford to play politics with our national security. So instead, let's try to focus on some of the things that we have in common and deliver real results. I want to thank Governor Inslee and his fellow West Coast governors who've helped workers and management reach an agreement that reopened 29 ports and kept business flowing. I got to add a plug for Tom Perez, who went out there and I think really made an extraordinary contribution to that effort. That's going to make a big difference for the country's economy as a whole. That's the kind of thing that we can accomplish when we put aside divisions and focus on some common sense steps to improve the economy for everybody. And it's an example that I hope Congress follows in the months ahead. Keep in mind, though, even when Congress does not act or does not act fast enough, I think we can still work together to make a difference. And whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, what I've found is that the more specific we are on focusing on problems, less concerned we are about politics, the more we get accomplished. Now, I'll give you one specific example, and that's in the criminal justice area. Last year was the first time in 40 years that the federal incarceration rate and the crime rate went down at the same time. First time in 40 years. Let's keep that progress going and reform our criminal justice system in ways that protect our citizens and serves us all. In Georgia, Governor Deal's given judges new alternatives to harsh mandatory minimum sentencing. In Connecticut, Governor O'Malley announced his Second Chance Society plan to help former prisoners rejoin their communities. We want to be a partner in those efforts. And that's what the American people expect. One of the great privileges of being president is you get to travel everywhere. And you get to meet people from just about every walk of life. And what I have found is the assumption that I made, that I think Joe made when we first ran for office, still holds true. The American people are good and decent, and they have a lot more in common than our politics would indicate. And if we can just focus on that, there's a lot of good stuff that we can get done. So I'm in the fourth quarter of my presidency, or as some of you might call it, the kickoff for your campaign season. But I think there's still a lot that we can get done together. I think we can build an America that is creating more opportunities for hardworking folks. I think we can make sure that the future for the next generation is even brighter than the one that we enjoyed. And I look forward to making progress together at the federal and state levels. Okay? Thank you very much, everybody.